Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom. There are things that happen in this physical world that are beyond our control and beyond our ability to affect or change. That is hard for us to accept. We like to have things the way that we want them. Well, it doesn't always work out that way, does it? In fact, most of the time, it does not work out that way. And our carefully thought out plans do not come to fruition. How many times have you planned and dreamed and put things together in your mind over and over again, and you had it all laid out exactly how things were going to happen, but it didn't work out that way? And we're always disappointed when that happens. We don't always get what we want. We have choice, but we don't always get to choose what happens. When you think about it, our lives are so fragile, and things can change in an instant, in a moment, in a heartbeat. And our lives can change forever in the blink of an eye. Tragedies occur. Accidents happen. Situations change. Things out of our control and beyond our ability to affect in any way. Sometimes all we can do is stand by helplessly and watch things unfold. Sometimes it feels like we are just along for the ride as our lives spin out of control. Have you ever felt you were an unwilling participant in things that were happening in your life? Or you were just a passenger along for the ride, not able to do anything to change what you saw unfolding before you? You know, those times and those situations test us and try us. And sometimes we are pushed right up to the breaking point, to the limits of our faith and our belief and our trust and our ability to endure and to not lose hope. Because our flesh is weak, we doubt, and we have fear, and our trust is shaken, and our faith, where is it? In those times when we are really stretched to the limit, and right to the breaking point, what happens to our faith? What happens to our trust? All too often, we're ready to just give in, aren't we? We love Yahweh, and His praise is in our mouths when things are good. And when we have what we want, but what happens when things do not go our way? What happens when the door gets slammed in our face? What happens when the unexpected occurs? What happens when tragedy strikes? Job 1 and verse 13. Job 1 and verse 13. And the day came to be when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their brother, the firstborn. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding alongside them, when Shavah fell upon them and took them away. And they smote the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to inform you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of Elohim fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to inform you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them away, and they smote the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to inform you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the house of their brother, the firstborn. And see, a great wind came from the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young men, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to inform you." Then Eov rose up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and did obeisance. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I return there. Yahweh has given, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh." In all this, Eov did not sin nor ascribe wrongdoing unto Elohim. And Job's life was changed forever. In the space of a few minutes' time, he suffered horrible losses. His wealth, his property, his family, his servants, all gone. And his trial was just beginning. That was just the start of it all. Job was not expecting the tragedy that came upon him. You know, he must have had plans, hopes, expectations, dreams, but all of that changed in an instant, in a moment. He never woke up that morning expecting those things to happen. You know, we have a tendency to think that life is just going to continue on, and day after day, things are going to remain the same, and nothing is going to change, and no challenges are going to come, no tests are going to come. But that is not realistic. If we are the called out people of Yahweh, then tests are going to come. It's part of being set apart. How did Job react? How did he bear up under the situation that came upon him? Job did not blame Elohim for what happened to him. Yahweh allowed Job to be tested. Yahweh allowed a hardship to come upon him. And what did Job do? Job accepted Yahweh's will. How would you react in those same circumstances? Put yourself in Job's place. Think about those men coming to you in rapid succession, bringing bad news after bad news after bad news. Would you be angry? Would you be upset? Would you be disappointed? Would you be doubting your faith? And would you begin to start questioning your trust? When things happen to us, our thoughts immediately turn to Yahweh. How many times have you heard someone say, why would Yahweh allow that to happen? When our Abba answers our prayers the way that we want him to, and the way that we expect him to, we are happy. Life is good. We are being blessed. Everything is wonderful. What about when he does not answer our prayers in the way that we expected? What is our attitude then? We get upset, angry? Do we pout and throw tantrums like little children because we didn't get our way? Or can we accept that our Abba knows so much more than we do and sees the end from the beginning, and maybe he has a very good reason for not answering our prayers the way we expect him to? We don't see the blessing in no, do we? We don't see the blessing in not getting what we want. But those blessings can be greater than receiving the things that we think we want. Our Messiah gave us an example of how we should pray. Matthew 6 and verse 5. Matthew 6 and verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the congregations and on the corners of the streets to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And when praying, do not keep on babbling like the Gentiles, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is the way you should pray. Our Father who is in the heavens, let your name be set apart. Let your reign come. Let your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your desire, your will be done. Not our will, his will. You know, that is a good place for us to selah, to stop and think about what that really means. To desire his will above anything else. That is an important part of surrendering ourselves fully and completely to Him. It is submitting to Him and to His authority and desiring for the things that He wants to be done above what we want to be done. We are accepting His will for our lives, and we pray within that. We live our lives within that. You know, there are times when we go to Him in prayer and the things we ask for are unrealistic. And it's not that our Abba does not want to bless us, but we have to understand that He has a plan for us. And that's what we should desire more than anything in this physical life, more than anything in this world. We should seek out His will and live our lives according to that, and pray within that and ask within that. We do not see the big picture, but Yahweh does. We do not see what is down the road, but He does. We do not see what is in the next moment, but He does. If we love Him and trust Him with our very lives, can't we trust that He knows best and accept His will, no matter what it is? How can we be His if we do not? If we reject His will in our lives, how can we say we are His people? How can we say we are set apart? He guides, He directs, and He turns us a certain way and puts us on a certain path. And we must be subject to Him in every way. Every way. It's hard for people to give up their own self-will and self-determination. That's why so many rebel against His word, because they don't want to submit. They don't want to give themselves over to something that's bigger than themselves, because they think they are in control. But that is just an illusion. We control nothing. Even when it hurts, even when it tears us apart, even when it changes our lives forever, we must trust and accept His will. Imagine being there in the garden the night Yeshua was arrested. Do you think any of those there with Him wanted to accept Yahweh's will in that moment? To have their master, the one they loved, the one they followed, the one they lived with, their lives were wrapped up in Him and around Him. Do you think any of them wanted to accept Yahweh's will at that point? It would have been very difficult. Our Abba always knows best, and we have to trust in that. We have to accept that. Joshua 24, verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14. One of my favorite passages. And now, fear Yahweh, serve him in perfection and in truth, and put away the mighty ones which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. And if it seems evil in your eyes to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves this day whom you are going to serve, whether the mighty ones which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the mighty ones of the Amori in whose land you dwell. But I and my house, we serve Yahweh. Joshua got it. He understood. And he accepted Yahweh's will in his life, no matter what that was. And that's exactly what he is speaking to Israel about here, accepting the will of Yahweh. And notice what he says, the words he uses. And if it seems evil in your eyes to serve Yahweh. How could it seem evil in their eyes to serve Yahweh? If they were not prepared to accept Yahweh's will, and if they were set on going their own way, his way could appear evil to them because they wanted what they wanted. And Joshua was basically saying to them, I accept Yahweh's will in my life, and it is his will that I want. And I am going to serve him no matter what I go through. Now, he is standing against all of Israel here and making this declaration. Because Joshua was committed to following Yahweh, and he was committed to serving him. You know, a lot of people just quit when it gets tough, don't they? The first little sign of trouble, they're ready to throw their hands up and quit and turn back. And how many times did Israel want to turn back and go back to Egypt? Joshua and his house were going to follow Yahweh no matter what that meant. And accept Yahweh's will. 2 Samuel 12, verse 18. And on the seventh day it came to be that the child died, and the servants of David were afraid to inform him that the child was dead. For they said, look, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he would not listen to our voice. And how do we say to him that the child is dead? Then he shall do evil. And David saw that his servants were whispering, and David perceived that the child was dead. David then rose up from the ground and washed and anointed himself and changed his garments. And he went into the house of Yahweh and bowed himself, then came to his own house and asked, and they set food before him, so he ate. And his servants said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept because of the living child. But when the child died, you rose up and ate food. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows whether Yahweh shows favor unto me, and the child shall live. But now he is dead, and why should I fast? Am I able to bring him back again? I am going to him, but he does not return to me. David accepted the will of Yahweh. He prayed while there was a chance, and he humbled himself before Yahweh. But when his son died, he accepted it. When my dad was in ICU after a massive heart attack, I prayed. I prayed fervently, and I prayed frequently, and I poured my heart out to Yahweh. It consumed my thoughts and my every waking hour. The church we were going to at the time prayed. And my dad was anointed and prayed over. And still, my dad died. He never recovered. And it crushed me. It was so unexpected. And life changed forever in just a moment. But I accepted Yahweh's will and trusted. When my wife and I lost a child, we prayed and prayed for Yahweh to intervene. And my wife was anointed and prayed over. And still, she lost the baby. That crushed us. But we accepted Yahweh's will and trusted. And we still do. We have not given up, and we have not given in. And we still put our lives in our Abba's hands, trusting that he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in our lives, and he knows why we are going through the things that we're going through. We have been stretched and twisted and pulled and turned and tossed upside down, right side up, and all the way around for the past 2 years. But we're still holding on. Because we accept Yah's will in our lives. And we struggle to understand why things happen. Why do people suffer tragedy and loss? Why do bad things happen to those who call on and trust in the Elohim of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Why does Yahweh not intervene? We trust and believe that he is our healer and that he can change things and that he can do the impossible. Well, how can we know that he has not intervened? His ways are higher than our ways, and his understanding is higher than our understanding. If we're going to trust him, then we have to trust him in all things. Exodus 14, verse 11. Exodus 14, verse 11. And they said to Moshe, "Did you take us away to die in the wilderness because there are no graves in Egypt? What is this you have done to us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moshe said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the deliverance of Yahweh, which he does for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you are never, never to see again. Yahweh does fight for you, and you keep still." Moshe was teaching the children of Israel to accept the will of Yahweh. He was teaching them to trust and look to Abba. They were looking at everything they had been through up to that point as a negative. They were not looking past their current situation. Moshe told them to be still, because Moshe had also learned to accept the will of Yahweh. There was an implicit trust and belief. And that's what we need to have. We need to be able to trust him no matter what happens and know that he is in control. He sees all. Sometimes it seems like we forget that. We forget that he is always in control, that he sustains everything, and there's nothing that escapes his attention. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then Yehoshua came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the taught ones, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Kepha and the two sons of Zabdi, and he began to be grieved and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My being is exceedingly grieved, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And going forward a little, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I desire, but as you desire." Yeshua accepted Yahweh's will in his life. He was completely surrendered to Yahweh, and he put the will and desire of Yahweh above his own, even to the point of giving up his physical life. Now, there are times when we say those words, "Yet not as I desire, but as you desire," as we are crying and the tears are running down our face. Sometimes when we reach out and seek his will and his desire, it's painful and it hurts. But we have to remember, he is in control. I remember a couple of years ago, a person whom I knew died, and she was a sweet lady and a strong believer. She loved Yahweh with all of her heart. And a lot of people were praying for her and crying out to Yahweh on her behalf. But she was not healed, and she died from cancer. Did Yahweh not hear his people? Did he not hear their cry? Did he not look down upon this situation? Did he just turn his back on her and ignore her and not hear her pleas and her cries? You know, I know her family was hurting. You could see it in their words. And it was a great loss. But they accepted Yahweh's will, just as she did. She was resigned that whether she was healed or not, she was not going to lose her faith and trust in Abba. And she remained faithful to the end. Will we? Can we? Will we stand firm and trust? Or will we crack under that pressure and give in? Mark 3, verse 32. Mark 3, verse 32. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "See, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." But he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And looking about on those sitting around him, he said, "See my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the desire of Elohim is my brother and my sister and mother." Whoever does the desire, the will of Elohim. Isn't that what we all should be seeking to do? If we say we are his people and we say we are set apart, shouldn't seeking his will be the priority in our lives? You know, we don't know how many of Yah's people will make it to the end. There are some dire prophecies about the things to come. So when we see that some of his people fall, does that mean that the rest of his people should just give up? That they should just throw in the towel and quit? Is that the will of Yahweh? Did all the rest of the believers quit when Stephen was stoned to death right in front of them? We have to accept Yahweh's will, no matter what it is. We have to serve him and obey him and be committed to doing what he asks of us. We have to look beyond this physical life and think about what he is offering us and what we have waiting for us. Because all of this will seem like such a small part of something that we live through when we make it to the kingdom and live with him for all time, because time will cease to exist there. What is forever? What is eternal life? It's a life where time doesn't matter. We're not constrained by time anymore. But the time we have in this physical life to do the will and desire of our Elohim is a very short time. And there's no time to waste, really. 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world, nor that which is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it, but the one doing the desire, the will of Elohim, remains forever. If we seek our own will, we're going to perish right along with this world. But if we seek to do the desire and the will of our Elohim, we will remain forever. May we all be found doing His desire, His will. May it fill our lives, may it fill our prayers. May it be the focal point of our service to Him. And may we be strong and courageous and bold to do the will of Elohim no matter what befalls us, no matter what we must bear or what we must suffer, so that we can all hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.
Yivarekika Yahweh, Vayishmareka. Yaer Yahweh panavileka, vihuneka. Yisa Yahweh panavileka, vayishem laha. Shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back His face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into His truth. Shavua Tov.